Hare Krishna. Some question?
Yes, Maharaj. Question referring to Christmas, the Western world celebrating the appearance of the Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And there is a question referring to Srila Prabhupada, and we know that he made several statements while he's preaching about Jesus Christ. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, fourth canto and sixth chapter, verse 47, he in his purport, he says, a Vaishnava should follow the examples of such Vaishnavas as Haridas Thakur, Nityananda Prabhu, and also Lord Jesus Christ. So, just can you give your
what comments? Does he say? What is that example?
The purport itself, the shloka.
I'm saying
itself.
He's saying you should. What is the example they've shown that he's saying you should follow?
He says there is no need to kill anyone who has already been killed, but it should be noted herewith that a Vaishnava should not tolerate the blaspheming of Vishnu or Vaishnavas, although he should tolerate personal insults to himself.
Mm-hmm. Tolerating the personal insults.
Yeah. Before that, he gives the third verse from Shikshastakam.
And the question is?
Just expand the idea and about Prabhupada's statements about Jesus Christ in particular, and if there are any comments given by Srila Gurudev or Guru Maharaj, Srila Guru Maharaj, uh-huh. You can recollect.
I remember being in Italy with Srila Gurudev, and we were atop some mountain, I think it's called Monte Baro, according to my memory. And there was a chapel there. And you know, a small little church. Inside, rather than the typical cross, did the plug come on? rather than the typical cross, there was a statue of Mary holding Jesus. You know, like a very sweet thing. And it was said to be 500 years old. So, of course, whenever devotees hear 500 years old, they think the time of Mahaprabhu. So you could say that this chapel had been there since the time of Mahaprabhu. That was interesting. But when Srila Gurudev, he saw, like, Mary, sometimes they say Madonna, holding the baby Jesus, he said, Mother Maria Ki Jai. So, there's Christianity and what it is, and they themselves have varieties of presentation or interpretation about that. Those who consider themselves Christians, and we know there's some variety there, different ways of interpretation. And then there's when the Vaishnavas, the loving glance of the Vaishnavas toward Christianity, you might say. So, Srila Guru Maharaj, like an example, he said that when he was exploring the theme that only a confidential servitor could handle a very controversial role in pastimes. Just like we know, Shiva, on account of his unique tattva, position, he's doing things that are, that he, even he himself sometimes laments about. Mayavadam, asat jastram, bodham pachtam, you know, preaching Mayavad, giving benedictions to followers in the mode of ignorance who are likely to misuse these boons for mischief and things like that, saying, I'm repeatedly brought into clash with Krishna because of these followers I have, being merciful to, or gracious to them. So on that theme, that well, really only a confidential servitor could be entrusted with some controversial type seva, you could say. Guru Maharaj discussed Judas. And a perspective that actually he would have to be a dear servitor to perform this betrayal. Right? This is a very generous view. If they can sit this way, I can't see through this opaque sign, so I'm talking to someone's knees, you know. Just to the side, yeah, to the side of the sign. So, again, this is Guru Maharaj's interpretation. So he's saying, when Jesus is going up to Mount Calvary carrying the cross and different events happen, at one point, he sees Judas. And we're told, and they exchange glances. And then we're told that Judas goes off and hangs himself. But Guru Maharaj said, what was in that glance? And he said, it was that Jesus looked at him and said, in a very pathetic and appealing way, forgive me for what I've done to you. Your name will be black for all time. To this day, I don't think people name their child Judas. There's that someone, you'll find someone in California somewhere who just did. But other than that, generally they're avoiding. So he said, your name will be black from all time to come. You know, Judas, the one who betrayed Jesus. He said, but in the exchange of glances, Jesus is saying, please forgive me for using you in this way. And then Guru Maharaj is saying, and Judas, the betrayer, saying, he's asking me for forgiveness. He feels so remorseful and distraught, he goes off and hangs himself. So that's a non-conventional interpretation of these things. We know Srila Gurudev perhaps a couple times mentioned that, what was it, the Song of Solomon, which I believe is in the Old Testament, that he saw some parallels there to like Madhura Rasa conceptions. But again, this is something being put before the Vaishnavas, and they're generously trying to be inclusive. So I think in the case of Srila Prabhupada, and this is my own opinion, that some of the things he expressed was based upon understanding who his audience was. So he's talking to people who were primarily Christian or Christian background. So sometimes in a propaganda sense, he said many things, you know, like Jesus Christ, he's our guru, but you won't find his name in the Guru Parampara. But he's speaking in a particular way, or Christ, Christos, Krishna, but we're not chanting Christ and Christos were chanting Krishna. But he may say, you know, Krishna, Allah, Jehovah, Yahweh, you have something, you can chant that. He's talking in a general, inclusive, appealing way, but he's promoting the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, as the Vedas indicate in Vedic literature, the Puranas. And so there's a chapter in the Search for Sri Krishna, Reality the Beautiful, called Beyond Christianity. And Guru Maharaj speaks there about Jesus having a dynamic position, that he can go deeper into reality. So after this was published, it was being translated into other languages. The devotees in the Spanish-speaking world, some of them, felt that this might be a bit much, where in these countries where Catholicism in particular is like the religion of the people. And some of them, again, just a few, two or three, they had an idea, they put forward the notion that Srila Guru Maharaj was misinformed about the position of Jesus. So later it came up to him, someone trying to push this idea that perhaps he wasn't properly informed about Jesus. They didn't understand. Guru Maharaj had Christian teachers in school who he remembers them teaching that Christ, and this perhaps is relevant to this passage, demonstrating the principle of self-sacrifice, but even higher, self-forgetfulness was a greater type of self-sacrifice. Because self-sacrifice, from an analytical point of view, we could say, well, there's some notion of myself and possible remuneration for this sacrifice I'm about to perform. Whereas self-forgetfulness, no concept, so lost in the other, without self-extinction, but so wholly given over to the other, at no consideration of self. So self-forgetfulness being higher. So he listened very well to those Christian teachers. So when those devotees suggested maybe he wasn't properly informed about the position, or maybe he was talking about Christians and not Jesus, and Guru Maharaj, he said, no, I am speaking about Jesus himself. He said, is he holding a dynamic position or not? Can he make any progress? And then he said, in the wave of his infinite progress, he may come to Vaishnavism. Because there are those who would like to suggest, no, Christ said there are many things I have to tell you, but you're not ready to hear them. And they make a big assumption. So that's all about Krishna consciousness. But they weren't ready to hear it, so he didn't tell them about it. Again, like it reminds me, when Guru Maharaj says, he said about many things, that on the basis of Krishna's entering Kamsa's arena in Mathura, that according to the individuals, he's showing something different to each one simultaneously. The famous verse says, Mala nam ashanirni nam nadabara sri nam smaro murtiman gopanam swajanam shatam shatibhujam shastra shapitro shishu mrityu boja pite viradavidusam tatvam param yoginam vrishninam paradevate iti vidito rang something sagraja rangam sagraja, because that means his brother Balaram. When he entered with Balaram, after killing the Kuva Elapida, that big elephant, right? Wearing Kamsa's clothes, they've just killed the elephant, he's carrying a tusk, there's blood dripping from the tusk, so Kamsa's going, I guess the elephant program didn't work out so well. Krishna body slamming the elephant and then stabbed him, pulled his tusk out and stabbed him with it. That is our Lord. But so he is there, Balaram, and what we're told is Malanam, these wrestlers, them, it was like lightning. And they're huge, these wrestlers. Some people thought it wasn't fair because they saw Krishna and Balaram and they look so gentle and sweet and everything. And then these big wrestlers and somebody, this isn't fair, you know. From another point of view, it's not. There's Balaram and Krishna against two large size, less than divine personalities. But the ladies were saying, oh, who arranged this? This isn't right. You know, Krishna, don't worry. But those wrestlers, when they saw them, they weren't thinking they looked small or unworthy opponent. There was like lightning striking. They were deeply concerned. Narabara. Some people saw this. If there was to be a perfect person, this would be that. If like the personification of the perfect human being, you know, and beyond, but like that. Or like I've mentioned, because Narabara, Nata, can also mean the actors, or like when they have the handsome and beautiful men and women attend the awards, like Academy Awards or something like that, and all the people come and then they see some super handsome movie star in the flesh, and they kind of go crazy just to realize there's that person. And they're thinking how handsome they look, and their every movement seems to be perfect, and then they laugh, they throw their head back and laugh, and point to people, and they just think, oh, how perfect they are, their lives must be perfect, and their every movement. We think that about people in this world. So what do you think it's like when actually it's Krishna, and he's laughing and moving, and people are enamored, they're mesmerized by the glance of Krishna, the movement of his eyebrows, his smile, the way he moves his hands, the way he walks. Sometimes it says he walks like a baby elephant. What kind of a walk is that? But like charming. We've seen baby elephants walk. Yeah. So in other words, the way we view these movie stars, multiply that 10 million times, and you're dealing with the fascination of observing the smile, beauty, movements, gestures of Krishna. So just thinking, those wrestlers, they're going, oh no, lightning strike. Someone else is saying, my God, how beautiful. Just everything's so perfect. Srinam Smaro Murtima. And the women are saying, is this not Cupid personified? Then someone might say, no, if 10 million Cupids personified as one, is that possible? Kandar Pakoti Kamani Avishesha Shobham. Brahma, no less than Brahma. He's trying to convey to us something by saying this. Kandarpa means Cupid. Koti means 10 million. So he's saying, if 10 million Cupids personified as one, that, and that's just shorthand, you know, for because we can't go beyond 10 million. So he's saying, they personified as one, that would be the seductive charm and attraction of Krishna. And my God, you know, in this world, one Cupid is driving everybody crazy. Right? We always see Cupid with the bow and arrow, boing. And the people, they're become mad, right? Mohan, bewildered, Madan, by Madan, Cupid. But what is Krishna's other name? Madan Mohan, that Cupid's struck looking at Krishna, then Cupid's attacked. Irresistible charm, beauty, sweetness of Krishna. So Striya Smara Murti, Smara also means Cupid, Smara Murti. That's how the ladies of Mathura sing. And then some of those ladies say, they start, it's so beautiful because they start thinking about the gopis. They're not overwhelmed, but immediately their thoughts turn to the Braja gopis. Gopyastapak kimacharanyaramushya rupam lavanyasaram asamordva ananyasiddham rigbi pibantya anusava durapam. Something. Yashasar Sriya Aishwarasya. They're thinking, Gopyastapak kimachara. What did they do? Because now they're seeing Krishna with him. What did the gopis do? They see him all the time. And we know actually they never not see Krishna. Even when Krishna's apparently not there, their seeing of Krishna becomes intensified. The opposite of what we would think. We think, well, no, when someone's not there, no, when Krishna's not there, their seeing is heightened, becomes deeper and broader. And it reminds me of, like, in photography, as we look at the cameras, the so-called infinite depth of field. There's one thing where you focus on the person and everything else is blurred, right? But in infinite depth of field, everything's in focus. So in separation, we can say the gopis achieved infinite depth of field in that everything reminds them of Krishna. Everything they see is a source of remembrance, not forgetfulness, of remembrance. Right. So these ladies, Gopyastapak Kimacharan, they're thinking, what did those gopis do? They get to see him all the time, incessantly drink the beauty of Krishna. How fortunate they are. And who is he? Lavanyasaram means like beauty cream, but not like the kind here. Means like the cream, the creme de la creme of beauty. If you had beauty, and then the cream of beauty, and then the cream of the cream, the creme de la creme of beauty, lavanyasaram, asamordva. Asamordva means nothing, there's no equal, no comparison to this. What's the evidence? Krishna in Dwaraka is astonished by the beauty of Vrindavan Krishna. Because we could say, well, in this world, those comparisons are being, but then Lakshmi Devi of Lakshmi and Narayan, she, you know, Yadvanchana Sri Lalana Charatapo, she's doing austerities trying to get in the Rasalila. And then we think, does that bother Narayan? You know? No, he's trying to get Krishna's darshan also. He's sympathetic. We hear, you know, those Vishnu pastimes, he's stealing people to get Krishna. I just wanted to see you. Here, you can. I'm sorry I did that. That's very un-Vishnu-like. Kidnapping. I just wanted to see your beauty. You know, Vishnu's enamored. Lakshmi Narayan. So, but then we think, what about Krishna? Dwaraka Krishna is astonished by the beauty of Vrindavan Krishna. So even Krishna Lavanya Saram Asamarva Ananya Siddham Drigbi Pibant Anusava Durapam. I forget the last. Yadama Aishwaryasya. Forget the last line. Anyway, they think like that. Gopanam Svajanam. And the gopas, gopi, the people from Vrindavan, they think that Krishna is theirs. So when they think, he's like, you know, like this one man used to say in Calcutta, he gave the deity of Mahaprabhu, this Bengali gentleman, Tarun Kanti Ghosh, the minister of commerce and tourism, used to come by and go, Amar Gauranga. You know, he'd look and go, my Gauranga. He was so happy. Amar Gauranga. Come by and have the darshan of the deity. So they look and they said, that's our Krishna. He's with us. You know, he's from our hometown. Like whenever we ask someone, where they go, you know they're from the same hometown? We all do that. So just think about, they're doing that with Krishna. You know he's from our town? Vrindavan, it's small, but 50 square kilometers, but it has Vaikunthas in the soil. Gopis wear Chintamani gem for jewelry, that Vrindavan. Yeah, we're from there. He's also from there. The most famous hometown in all the three worlds. Gopanam svajanam shatam shatibhujam shastra shapitro. And they're some are seeing him as the personification of the rod of chastisement. Like the heavy punishment is about to come down. But the Devaki and Vasudev, they're saying, that's our son. He was taken away when he was a little baby. And now he's returned. And they're shackled on the side. It's a pitiful situation. But they're thinking in a particular way. Vrishninam parade, and the Vrishnis, this is the paradevata, it's come in our line, Vrishninam paradevateti, viditam tatvam param yogi, and the yogis, you know, they're saying, that paramatma that we're always meditating in our heart, he's standing in front of us in a more charming aspect. Anyway, so these many different, 10 perhaps, different ways of seeing Krishna, they're all going on simultaneously. So Krishna's Akhila Rasamrita Murti. So if there are different ways of seeing these Jesus and his pastimes, and it can all be accommodated. One doesn't necessarily cancel another. But Christianity itself, Guru Maharaj, reminds us, it's a partial representation of the Supreme Reality. Because where is the feminine aspect? And then we say, no, in Mary, Mother Mary, like you're like Mother Maria ki jai. But the balance, we can say that the full spectral range of loving relationship is expressed comprehensively in Krishna conception. As Christianity, Judeo-Christian tradition, the main thrust of their conceptualization, if there is also leaning a little bit in the impersonal side of things. Not God's personality is not clearly defined, it's more or less abstract. Like when Bon Maharaj came back from preaching in Germany. He was in England and Germany, and he was telling Guru Maharaj, he saw a play, and God was this man high in a balcony with a big long beard. And so they're kind of, you know, chuckling about that, because this idea that, like, well, he's the oldest of all, and he's so old, that was before shaving was invented. so he must have a beard that's just like, woo. But in Krishna conception, saying he's the oldest of all, adhyam purana purusham navayob. So he is purana purusham, means the oldest person. And how does he look? Navayovana, eternally youthful. Understand? That is, if someone said, well, what's the difference? Like, there's a difference. Here, oldest of all is being portrayed in this way. Here, oldest of all, how is he portrayed? Navayovana. He's like an eternal teenager. He's always beautiful. And he's the oldest person. He's the original person. So don't impose these mundane standards or concept on the supreme entity. Like that, and many things. But for the most part, it's how do you say? Awe and reverence. Right? If we want to take it that there's substance there, awe and reverential devotion. Right? Like dasya rasa. But I like one Christian theologian, his name is John Hick. He said some years back, he said, Christianity is on the verge of a Copernican revolution. And what he meant was, just like before Copernicus, there was the geocentric conception of the universe. The earth is in the center, and the sun and so many planets are orbiting. Then Copernicus came along with the heliocentric conception, saying the sun is at the center, and the earth is one of a plurality of planets orbiting that sun. Right? So this man is a Christian theologian. It's not someone who's lost his faith, right? But he is broad, open, perhaps realized, and he said, Christianity is on the verge of a Copernican revolution. He said, up to this point, we've thought this is the central conception, and there are so many spin-offs, or there's a plurality, but they're off-center, shall we say. Saying, but we're on the verge of a Copernican revolution in which we're going to realize there is one supreme, central, absolute truth. And this is one among a plurality of theistic conceptions that are orbiting that truth. So if someone can accept that, like modern people, they like to present themselves as being like very open and broad-minded. So often they'll go so far as to say that they can recognize the plurality, right? But they kind of want to leave it there. This is another aspect of so-called modern thing. Because they know, like, if we say, well, is there any way to degrade, to understand gradation amongst the plurality? That they don't want to touch. So they would prefer to say, no, it's just different names for the same thing. Leave it at that. Right. But for those who are truly progressive and want to understand gradation, particularly of substance, could there be a way to measure their relative value against the absolute standard? So Srila Guru Maharaj says that standard is rasa. And I've told this on different occasions, just to give people some idea, the idea of currency. Like, there's money. things that have monetary value, and we know every time you look at the sign of currency exchange, and they show like dollars, euros, Thai baht, Russian rubles, rupees, yen, the different, and you see one of these, and RMB, yuan to our Chinese friend. And you see one of these equals so many of those. So when it comes to the plurality of currencies, we don't say they're all the same. If you believe that, then we could engage in a lucrative exchange business with somebody who thinks just one of these is always equal to one of those, right? But that's not the fact. So, but there has to be a standard by which you can judge that one of these equals so many of those. So in the context of this example, we'll call that the absolute standard. It used to be gold, but it doesn't even matter. We're only talking theory. So then we can say, well, what is the gold standard by which all theistic systems should be evaluated or measured? Right? That's a reasonable question. It's not offensive. Srila Guru Maharaj suggests that it is rasa. So then someone might say, well, everyone doesn't know what rasa means. Yeah, but so then for the sake of this discussion, because it's a very difficult word to represent, to translate out of Sanskrit or Bengali, because it means liquid, it means sweetness, it means love, affection, and feeling, it means so many things. But for the sake of this discussion, we can say it means loving intimacy. Right? We'll say that rasa indicates loving intimacy. So to reframe it, we'll say to a degree that a theistic system encourages, allows, accommodates loving intimacy, it shows superior qualities and characteristics. Then, what are the possibilities of loving intimacy? We say Shanta Dasya Sakya Vatsalya Madhura. So, Shanta as, you know, passive, but going to Dasya, to servitorship, master and servant, right? Awe and veneration between the servants toward the master. That is a legitimate sentiment, but it is the sentiment that predominates religion for the most part, Judeo-Christian and otherwise, this master and servant thing, and it's also within Vaishnavism. But what we shall say is we recognize that and its legitimacy, but it's not the only legitimate sentiment. So we hear, look, even Vaikuntha is predominated by awe and reverence. Aishwarya Gyan. But we hear one reason why Chaitanya Charitamritam is such a confidential literature. In the beginning, we have Krishna saying, if someone is too much under the influence of Aishwarya Gyan, and that prevents them, their hearts from opening up and fully expressing love to me, I'm disappointed. Wow, that he could say something like that, that this book can express that, like a candid observation of the supreme entity saying, that's good for everyone else, Aishwarya Gyan. That's very good for them, but for me, not so much. Like the king, all the citizens, when they're doing the awe and reverential treatment of the king, the president, the prime minister, whoever, that's good for the citizenry. But the king, he's almost, you know, fulfilling a duty in that respect. But we know he has friends. He has a wife, or a mistress, or whatever the case may be, a mother, he has other types of relationships that are not known to the people in general. Right? His private life. There's public life and private life. So for the most part, religion is dealing with the public life of the Supreme Entity. And so then naturally, the sort of reciprocation going on there is characterized by awe and reverential devotion. Taking it that we're dealing with things that are real and substantial. So, Nir Krishna in Charitamritam saying that that is leaves something to be desired from his point of view. And then he starts saying, he said, if a devotee, and we're not talking about bogus sahajya imitators or prematurely approaching, we're not talking about that. We're talking about legitimate raga bhaktas. So he's saying, if they treat me as an equal, that catches my attention and my heart. And think about that, just theoretically. It's one thing in this world, when back to those movie stars, when what do we hear? Their common complaint of movie stars, the rich people, you know, I can't have a relationship with someone who just likes me. Right? It's always, he's the most famous man in the world, sexiest man alive, the richest man, you know, he's a billionaire. And the people can't stop thinking about that when they're dealing with them. And they see that. That's here, right? So it's all like Krishna saying, like, they're looking at me, and he's the supreme reality. And those, all those things are true in his case. But if someone can't shake that, like, and Rupa Goswami shows incrementally things like that. When Krishna, after he broke free from Kali and came out, to show that there's gradation everywhere and everything, saying one of the younger cowherd boys, who their friendship, a little more, it's like dasya to friendship range, he wanted to really go up and hug Krishna, and then he like hesitated. He's like conflicted about that. Even Vasudeva and Devaki, when they realize there's like their paternal affection, but he's the supreme reality, we're good, you know. So it's very confidential what's being revealed there. So Krishna's saying, but if they deal with me like a friend, this is exciting. How exciting it must be for him. Like, there are these people, and it's not, like I say, bogus impersonation or imitation. But they have so much love for Krishna, they only see him as a person. And the aishwarya aspect, the awe and opulence, all that, is suppressed. It's gone. The love is so intense that it's pushing that into the background. Like here in this world, when the mother of the king, president, prime minister sees her son. She sees her son. Doesn't matter he's the president, the king, it's her son. And she can chastise him, correct, you know, pull him, listen to me, Mr. President. He's like, Mom, Mom! You know, like, and he has to do what she says, too. He has to obey his mother. So that's a delightful thing. So Krishna, imagine though, you're the supreme entity and you have to obey your mom. Stop. You have to obey your mother, or you're afraid of your mother. One famous author, she was being interviewed and they said, what is your fear? She said that when my children get older, they won't be afraid of me anymore. So that the supreme entity can be afraid of his mother. Kunti said, this is astonishing and mesmerizing. Gopyadade, Twai Kritaga Siddhama Tabad, Yate Dushashu Kalilanjana Sambramaksham. And she's saying, and seeing Krishna running, Yashoda's running after Krishna with a stick, and Krishna's running from her. And we know he has kajal, black eye makeup, They still do that with children in India, little boys. You know. They have black makeup, and he's crying, and all the makeup's running down his face, and he's running from his mother because he's afraid. That Krishna likes. This, for him, is fun. She loves him so much, no conception he's the supreme entity. When Balaram and the others, they complained against Krishna to get him in trouble. Like Babaji Maharaj saying, I know how to deal with you. Complain to Maya Yashoda and she'll deal with it. That is the best way. So they're saying, Krishna's eaten earth. He's being naughty. And Mother Yashoda, Krishna, come here. Did you eat earth? And he said, no. Because I'm defeating them in play, they're trying to get me in trouble. That's all. No. And in fact, if you want to see if I've eaten any earth, look in my mouth. He opens his mouth and she sees the earth planet and all the other planets, the Milky Way, the innumerable universe. She's seeing all of this and it's going deep into Krishna's belly. And she's seeing all of that. And for a moment, this is the case in Yasona. Momentarily, she's thinking, he's God. And under the influence of Yoga Maya, I'm thinking I'm his mother. Just for a moment, she thinks like that. Then we hear a cat goes, meow, like that cat we have. And Krishna, he is afraid. And then he grabs her skirt and clings to his mother for protection. And then she's saying, yeah, that's my boy. And she thinks whatever she saw is some kind of a hallucination. Doesn't even pay attention to it. Saw innumerable universes inside the mouth of her son, like, psh, some nonsense. People say, there are these people spreading vicious rumors that Krishna is God. I thought that's what we're supposed to preach, right? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not if Mother Yashoda's around. Not in that plane. She says that people who say that are spreading vicious rumors. Saying he's either a devata or the Supreme Lord himself. Because I have this wonderful son, they have to make up stories. Like he's somebody else's son. Or he's a god, or he's God himself. These people are insane. It's my child. That Krishna likes, that type of claimant, someone who's claiming Krishna as their own. We're told one thing to say, I'm yours. Grita Sneha and Madhu Sneha. But superior to that, to say, you are mine. You belong to me. Again, that's not expressed through imitation, but we hear of that from the higher servitors. So Krishna, like we see in the pastimes with Vishnu and also in Dwaraka Krishna, where does he go? To get the Parijata tree? Indraloka, I think. But he's riding on Garuda, Vishnu and Krishna, various times. And Garuda's soaring in ecstasy. Imagine that. He's got the Lord on his shoulders. So happy. Ecstatic. His feathers are standing on end. Right? But what Krishna and Charitamritam in the introductory section says, when I'm fighting with the cowherd boys who think we're equal, sometimes they win. They defeat me. And the victors ride on the shoulders of the losers. Right? And we're told devotion is where the infinite is conquered by the finite. So now Krishna has to carry the devotee on his shoulders. He feels like Garuda. He's flying. He's saying, I'm more happy with a devotee riding on my shoulders than riding on the shoulders of another. When the devotee's in the superior position, makes me happy. Sakya, Batsaya, and Madhura. So the full spectral range of human-like loving relationship is only fully expressed, comprehensively expressed in Krishna conception. So if rasa is the gold standard by which we measure the relative value of theistic systems, then we'll see that Krishna conception, Krishna consciousness, is occupying the supreme position. And that others, that something is there, partial representation, that has its value. So we're acknowledging that, appreciating that. But Krishna, by his own admission, he's saying it only really gets exciting, when it approaches like equality to the devotees that are superior. That he's irresistibly charmed by and drawn to. Raga Bhakti, the Raga Bhaktas. Merry Christmas. But we say one thing we learn about it, just to back up a little bit, that's charming, is how hardwired people are to believe. That I like. To at least take some time to think about these things and hopefully divine things, take a few moments to reflect on that in their lives and practice Mahaprabhu's teachings, like be humble, tolerant, give honor to others. That kind of mood, I think, is very could be appreciated by Christians. It's a very Christian kind of approach to life. There's some overlap there. Yes.
In humorous dandavats from all around the world.
Hare
from
Krishna.
Damodar Priyadas from Ukraine.
Hare Krishna.
Suchitra and Ananda Lila. Rasheshwari Didi. Dandavat pronouns from Ivoti, Brazil.
Yeah.
Praneshwari Didi in Florida, USA. Jai Nitai, humble pronouns and Merry Krishna.
Mahayogi sent me Skype message said, "We Vishnu a Hare Krishna." I mean, long and short of it is, like, we're Krishna loving people, but we like it. We like to see where people are expressing their theistic tendencies. We like that. We encourage that. And still, we're Krishna-loving people. Because we can't imagine a situation where there's no Radha, Krishna, Lalita, Vishaka, Yashoda, Nanda Yashoda, the cowherd boys, the gopis, the Jamuna, the Pika, the Vrindavan, like Prasadam. You know, like I like to remember, when the gopis, Krishna separates himself from them, his apparent cruelty is to make their hearts go deeper. In separation, the heart yields a superior substance. Right? Hunger makes eating more enjoyable. So he likes to throw them deep into the hunger stage before there's meeting. And sometimes they're searching madly, like Gurmukh said, search for Sri Krishna, reality. The search, that's what's valuable. Prabhupada used to say this too. Hey Radha, quoting Srinivasa Charja Sad Goswami Astakam, Hey Radha, Hey Brajadevi Ke Chalalite, Hey Nanda Shuno Kutaha. Kutaha means, where are they? Are they on Radha Kunda Tate Kalindi? Are they on the banks of the Radha Kunda or the Jamuna? Where are they? They're searching. He's saying it's all about the search. Here, the search yields substance. And Krishna consciousness, lamentation yields substance. To lament at one's own lack of Krishna consciousness is substance producing. And the way of the superior servitors. So those gopis searching for Krishna, and they think they see him hiding in the kunja, and they go, there's Krishna, and they all start running that way, and Krishna's thinking, oh, what to do? Oh, pushes out two more arms. So it looks like four-armed, and they come and they go, oh, Namo Narayan. And we're told, Rago Dea Kunchati, Rupa Goswami says, their hearts are like crushed. They're like, and they think, how, on the one hand, how arrogant can these teenage girls be? They're saying Narayan, who's otherwise known as God, right? That's one of his other names, God. Right? So you're seeing, and they're disappointed at this level of God. So you're going to say, there's some other level of God that they would be interested in? They're, you know, they see Narayan and they're like, trying to conceal their disappointment. And then they think, well, wait a minute. He's omniscient. He knows everything. Where, have you seen Krishna? Maybe in his omniscience, he knows where Krishna is. So he could be useful. Interestingly, he couples that, pairs that with Krishna trying to play the same trick on Radharani, and the arms keep disappearing, and he can only be two-armed Krishna, because she's Krishnamoyi. The glance, you know, from the heart of Radharani, look, when she, Krishna can't do that to her. She's controlling him. He may be Ishvara Parama Krishna, but he's under her control. Therefore, we say, Hare Krishna.